A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 24, 1991, in the series Only a Poem Will Do, entitled When We Are Surprised by Grace. The scripture reading is Psalm 116. Texts for the sermon are Psalm 116, verses 1, 7, and 8. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
Sometimes life is just a smooth sea, a placid pond, and all seems well. Sometimes in a moment, all of that can be shattered, and we're overwhelmed. The bottom gives way and the roof caves in, and the whole picture is in disarray. And sometimes we're in the darkness, and we have no anchor for the soul, no place to reach, and our spirit is crushed. And then a light breaks through, and we are surprised by grace. And when we're surprised by grace, only a poem will do. Then no prosaic statement of that which has transpired, but something that arises out of the depths, something that needs to be sung or danced, something too deep for words, something that can't even be celebrated alone, but something that simply breaks forth and calls for a community to celebrate, because without expectation, unpredictably, of sheer grace, all is changed. And the goodness and the mercy of God simply overwhelm us. Such was the witness of the poem written by the psalmist, Psalm 116. Whatever his situation, it must have brought him into the direst of circumstances. For he said that the bands of death laid hold upon him, and all of Sheol seemed to rise up to engulf him. And he cried to the Lord, and God heard his prayer. So the poem he writes begins, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he has heard my cry. I love the Lord. There aren't a lot of direct statements like that, expressing that kind of emotion in the scripture. If we'll find them any place, we'll find them in the Psalms, of course, because it was Israel's hymn book, that by which the believing community responded to the grace of God. But even in the Psalms, to find such a straightforward declaration, I love the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I don't speak that way. And when I hear that kind of talk, I even get a little bit nervous. That kind of pious expression, well, it makes me just a little bit nervous, because I suppose it sounds so familiar with God, almost like the big buddy up in the blue who has stooped down to be with me in my point of need. It would even sound more authentic, I suppose, if it was offered with a southern draw. But the reason I get nervous with that kind of talk, by and large, is the fact that I hear it when I'm not coming out of that kind of experience. That's the problem with our hymns sometimes, too. We're called upon to to sing songs that are reflective of some deep, gripping experience when we've just kind of been lollygagging on our way. And it rings hollow. But when the psalmist said, "I love the Lord," the psalmist was coming out of an experience of intense darkness, and he had been surprised by grace. And when one is surprised by grace, then the depths cry out for a tongue, and then one may say, quite honestly, "I love the Lord." Following this service, our own Jack and Hazel Steininga will share their experience, and when Jack says, "I love the Lord," as he said to me, not only in the hospital, but one fine summer day when we bought a Wendy's hamburger and sat on the channel in Grand Haven, when he says, "I love the Lord," I know he knows whereof he speaks. For Psalm 116 was written by Jack. The bands of death got hold upon him, and he moved into the tunnel and was aware of the fact that he was in some border region between life and death, and then found himself on the locomotive returning not to the end of the tunnel, but back here to be with Hazel and family and all of us, and here today to tell us about it. Then to say, "I love the Lord." For Hazel to say, "He heard my cry." That rings true. And it is that kind of experience out of which the Psalms arise, because there are those experiences in life when only a poem will do. And when our depths cry out for a tongue to give expression to that deep rumbling in the center of our being that reaches out beyond ourselves to the one who has reached us at that limit situation of life. "I love the Lord, for He has heard my cry. He delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling." There was one to whom He called in the darkness. It was the one that He had been pointed to in the days when all was light. Jack would tell you of a Christian home and a Christian church and a Christian school and catechism and Sunday school and worship, Sunday after boring Sunday, week in and week out, year in and year out, that ongoing ordinariness of our spiritual experience where we, as it were, go through the forms. And then in the darkness, suddenly it all comes into focus, and there is one to whom we can address our cry. And then, surprised by grace, it all comes alive in a richness that we never dared dream of. So rich, so wonderful, that if we don't give expression to it, we'll simply bust. I don't know, do you enjoy one's prayer? I always appreciate your prayers and pray through you. This morning, as you prayed, I lost you for a moment because you led me out to Thursday morning. An absolutely brilliant day. A day that scintillated in its clarity and its crispness. And added to the wonder of it was the fact that it was my day off. And so I did, as I haven't done often enough of late, I went down to the beach where the sand was frozen, making it wonderful for walking. And I went early enough so that every gull's feather and every piece of driftwood and even the decaying carcass of a goose was transformed by the frost that sat on every object that could receive it, catching then the sunlight so that it sparkled like a myriad of diamonds. And as far as I could see north and as far as I could see south, not a person, only the gentle murmuring of the rhythmic sea. And in the solitude, I was surprised by grace. But that's not all there is to life. For there are times when that solitude just won't do. There are times when I need to meet with you. That's why we need the church, the community of faith. There are times when the experiences of life are so rich that I simply cannot give expression in the solitude, but need to join hands and hearts with all of you, my brothers and sisters, so that we can sing together and dance together and give expression together to that mystery that is at the edge of our life. Do we not come together here because we know that there are those experiences, there is this mystery of being human that is limited and bordered by someone, something, some presence, some transcendence that we reach for because we have been reached by. Is it possible to celebrate the birth, the gift, and the baptism of a child without the community of faith? Is it possible to come to those years of conscious, responsible response and not have a community of faith in which to bow and to say, I believe? Why do we come here with our young people dressed in tuxedos and beautiful bridal gowns? Because there is something in life when only a poem will do, a poem that can be joined by a community of people, when we know that we are a part of something wonderful, something human, but something transcended by one who is divine. And, of course, finally, even in the most secular setting, in the most shallow of Hollywood flicks, death seems to call for a moment of hallowing and bowing before the mystery that embraces us and limits us. Birth and baptism and confirmation and marriage and death, the great passages of life, those moments of richness that weave the texture of our days, they need to be celebrated. Liturgy is nothing more than the weaving together of all of life and bringing it into the presence of God. Worship is really coming to praise the God before whom we lift our lives in all of their diversity. Sometimes simply saying thank you because all is well. Sometimes saying, where are you? For your face is hid from me. Sometimes saying, I couldn't believe the love I found, surprised by grace. That's why we're here. That's why we keep coming. That's why we need each other. And the shared experience of the wholeness of life, all before the presence that anchors us and overshadows us, and now and again surprises us with grace, and will finally bring us home. I love the Lord.